Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Locked On Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's going on, everybody? Louis DiBiase alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, welcome back, my friend.
Yeah, it's nice to be in studio with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Been a long time.
It's great.
Been screaming over Skype about the Eagles making the playoffs or bad Carson Wentz stories.
Yeah. We're moving into Howie season, as I said it yesterday on the pod, and there's a lot of things to be excited about. This team, Lou and I were looking at it, and we're going to talk about it during the show, just the whole situation with who's coming back for this team, and a lot of this core is locked up for the next couple years, and they have a great foundation to grow. I've been saying it time and time again, the best thing this team could have did this year was squeak into the playoffs, get these guys experience, these young guys like Dallas Goedert and Avante Maddox, and they're just going to be mentors for the next group of young guys to come in, and they're really starting to build this culture, and like Doug Peterson said, this is the new norm, and they expect to make the playoffs every single year, and I think they're in a really good position to do so for years to come.
And that's what we're going to get into today, is just how different will this Eagles team be in 2019? How long will this team be consistent? Like, you know, obviously they have a lot of the guys locked up. Is this going to be something that's sustainable for, you know, the next 5 years, or is this something that could close fast, like a team, you think of the Seattle Seahawks, where their window closed really quick after winning their first Super Bowl. They got back the next year, and then they barely beat the Minnesota Vikings in the first round, the Blair Walsh game, then they got back now because they had Russell Wilson, and that's a good thing is, for us, we have Carson Wentz, and that, to me, is going to keep the Eagles relevant for the next decade. So at least they have that, but for this core right now, Gino, I don't think it's going to be all that different. I feel like a lot of the not the narrative, but the feeling right now is that it's going to be a very important offseason for the Eagles because there's some key players like Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks. You know, the futures of Jason Peters is kind of up in the air. Timmy Jernigan, Chris Long. Michael Bennett, I think, is safe. I don't think he's going to be a roster casualty with how good he was. I mean, he was, outside of Fletcher Cox, the Eagles' best defensive lineman last year. How much of the core do you think for sure will be back in 2019?
Well, you already have guys like you have Carson Wentz, of course. Yep. You have Zach Ertz locked up. You have Alshon Jeffrey locked up.
They gave out a lot of those extensions at the end of the 2017 regular season, and that's when you felt like me and you were like, yeah, this is, you know, they should be good for a couple of years.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Howie knows when to pay these assets before the market takes off. You look right now, there's talk of Patrick Mahomes getting a $200 million contract. Mm-hmm. If you don't think Howie's chomping at the bit to get Carson Wentz extended this offseason, you're crazy.
You think it gets done this year?
I think it would be the smart move.
It's just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah, and you're going to get him for a cheaper cost. You look at Alshon Jeffrey. They signed him prior to that big class of Odell Beckham and all of those names.
Sammy Watkins got $16 million after Alshon got his contract extension.
Making more, $3 million more.
And I don't think it's even, look, I know Watkins was like, the Bills traded an extra first-round pick for him, but it's not even close, Alshon versus Sammy Watkins.
No, Alshon's a surefire number one. That's right. You see that, you have him locked up. This team has a very good core. As long as you have Fletcher Cox on the defense, you have Malcolm Jenkins on the defense, you could basically plug and play a lot of those positions. And like you mentioned, you're going to have Michael Bennett coming back for another year. You have a lot of young guys.
Derek Barnett.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Great minds think alike. Yeah. He's one guy that if they had him in this team, I think they could have made an even deeper run. And then another guy like Josh Sweat, too, who's going to have another year under his belt, growing into his body. And all these young guys that they've drafted the last couple years. You have Dallas Goedert. You got him for three more years at least.
The secondary is just oozing with young talent.
Oh, yeah. You still have Jalen Mills on a rookie contract. You have all the other guys on a rookie contract. The only guy you're losing is Ronald Darby right now. Mm-hmm. You still have Rodney McLeod locked up. You have Nigel Bradham locked up. You're in good shape. You have Lane Johnson locked up as
That's the thing. Your offensive line, the majority of it is locked up, too. The only question mark is, I mean, left guard has always been the weak point of it, but I think they still really like Isaac Seumalo. Wisniewski still should probably be back next year. Jason Peters is the one key. So, like, there are some guys. You know, they might not have Jason Peters back next year. Maybe they don't have Brandon Graham back or Timmy Jernigan. But I'm not concerned really to the level as some other media members I've seen that are like, this is a very important offseason. This is going to be a very different-looking team in 2019. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't see that. I think running back's going to be different for the better, though. Yep. I think wide receiver, like, you have your weapons intact for Wentz, the big three of Ertz, Alshon, and Aguilar, and Dallas Goedert now. And I think you're going to add a deep threat of some sort. Maybe it's in the draft. Maybe it's a guy like, I don't know, Breshad Perriman, DeSean Jackson. You add someone maybe in free agency. I'm going to be pushing DeSean Jackson all offseason. You already know it. But I think that this core, for the most part, is intact for the next couple years where the Eagles, they showed it at the end of the season. The team that beat the Rams, that beat the Texans, that beat the Redskins, that beat the Bears on the road in the wild card round, that was a lot closer to what this team really is and what it really is going to be for the next couple years compared to what we saw the first 13 weeks of the season. And to me, I think that's what you're going to get the next couple years. It's just, I don't see it being that much different. Even, maybe you're going to need another guy with Derek Barnett for the future. But Fletcher Cox isn't going anywhere. Malcolm Jenkins still is at the height of his powers. Like you said, we got Bradham, the young secondary. And the most important part of it all is Carson Wentz. And, we're going to lose Nick Foles. We're going to miss him. But we're adding a guy that was going to win MVP in 2017 that, despite having a stress fracture in his back last year, had a career-high in completion percentage, had a great touchdown-interception ratio, got better with accuracy in the pocket. I'm feeling really good about this Eagles team's future. I would like guys like Graham back and Jason Peters, but there's no one they're going to lose in this offseason that I think is going to make this team go from a Super Bowl contender to suddenly a 7-9 team again like in 2016.
Yeah, no, I think most of what you need is intact. Just looking at SpotTrack right now, you have Fletcher Cox locked up through 2023. Lane Johnson, Elshon Jeffrey, Tim Jernigan, Zach Ertz.
And these are all key positions,
all these guys
too,
are locked
right?
up through at least 2022. Yeah. You have Brandon Brooks is in there, that category as well. You have key foundational pieces, which are the all-stars of your team,
The reason you've been in contention is because of these guys.
Absolutely. You have the stars of your team making the money, and that's what you have to do. Nick Foles, he did great for us, but you can't justify paying him $20 million
next year.
Jason Peters, absolute stud last year. You're going to have to get him at a cheaper price. Hopefully he can renegotiate something there. But
I was going to say, I mean, it's very hard, and we're going to get into the priority guys that me and you want to retain, some of the biggest question marks, who are the biggest question marks to not be here next year. I just see Jason Peters wipe Khalil Mack off the face of the earth in the wild card round. It's like, I know he's old. I know he can barely finish games in the regular season. But, man, maybe just give Maiolata another year. I don't want to see Big V at left tackle next year. And they could easily draft a guy in the first or second round. But even you could still do that and bring back Jason Peters. I would love to have the bodyguard back.
Yeah, I think he's great for this team. I think
not at the price, of course.
Yeah, but no, not at the price you're going to get him next year. But he's so instrumental to this team. You see him when he was on the sidelines last year in his injury-riddled season.
He was huge for Big V.
He was huge for the confidence of Big V. You talk about, you look back to this training camp this year and how essential he was in getting Jordan Mailata ready. And
The dude had a great preseason.
Yeah, they said every time he made a mistake, Jason Peters was always the first one there. So you want a leader like that on your team.
For sure.
Regardless of what the cost is. I mean, you're not going to get him at a big cost, but if he's willing to come back, hopefully one more year and then be like a player coach almost.
And
that's
essential. And he's been a guy that's been a little more bullish when it comes to cap restructures, whereas the Eagles have had no problems getting it done with Brandon Brooks and Zach Ertz and, you know, Malcolm Jenkins, different players where they're like, let's free up some space so Nick Foles can come in here. We can bring some more guys in. Whereas Peters in the past has been a little bit more bullish on it. But look, at the cap hit of $10 million right now, you can free up $8 million if you cut him. I'm really hoping for a restructure. If not, I don't see him returning on that $8 million deal. Let's take a quick break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. When me and Gino come back, we'll keep talking about the biggest question marks of the roster and then get into some of the priority guys we want to retain next year, whereas when it comes to the free agents for the Eagles, when it comes to, you know, Jordan Hicks and Jay Ajayi and Brandon Graham, and also some of the potential roster cuts we maybe want to save, like Jason Peters. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back. Louis DiBiase, Gino Camilleri on this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles. I know, Gino, you live for this time as well. Draft season's among us. Senior Bowl
season, baby.
On Saturday at 2:30, and if you are excited for that, Gino gave a quick recap yesterday of the East-West Shrine game and also a little preview of the Senior Bowl on Saturday, so you can go check that out. LockedOnEagles.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, basically anywhere you find podcasts. We are up and available on those platforms. So, Gino, let's get into it now. Let's keep talking. We were ending the first segment on Jason Peters, talking about some of the bigger question marks of the core next year that might not be here. And I feel like he's one of the biggest ones. And then, really, the offensive line, again, Kelsey, I don't think he's going to retire this year. We'll see. You know, you saw that report that he might retire this year and the next coming years.
He's got at least one more,
I think. But, man, with how good he was this year, how can you just stop playing? Especially with the Eagles getting close again to the NFC title game, I would not want to stop playing right now.
Yeah, no, I think that even opens up a door for maybe a potential Chris Long return if you can get him at an even cheaper cost and he wants to play and you aren't able to address that position in the draft.
Yeah, maybe you lose Graham too. You might need him back.
Yeah, there's some possibilities. I don't want to be as apt this offseason to bring back guys just to retain them because they were Philadelphia Eagles.
No, I feel you.
You understand?
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to see those guys go. Chris Long, I've always loved watching him play. He comes in, win a Super Bowl. He's always going to be remembered for the dog mask.
That's right.
It's going to be tough to see those guys go, maybe even Brandon Graham. But the thing is, so we don't turn into the Seattle Seahawks, is addressing positions of need before they become a position of need. And this team has done it.
Right, you see us continuing to add assets on the defensive line every year.
Yeah, I mean, when we drafted Derek Barnett, did we need an edge rusher?
No.
But you have to be one step ahead of the game, and that's how great Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman
are.
The
same thing with like getting Avante Maddox. When they drafted him in the fourth round, I'm like, I kind of was scratching my head. I'm like, I really like Sidney Jones. Mm-hmm. I really like Rasul Douglas, and Jalen Mills and Darby are here. I don't know if Daryl Worley was still here at the time. Remember when we traded him
or
Torrey Smith for Daryl Worley for a couple of weeks?
That was crazy.
And now he went over to Oakland after that.
Yep.
But Avante Maddox, probably, not probably, he will be a starter of some fashion next year on the defense.
Absolutely. Tight end as well with Dallas Goedert.
That's
Did
true.
You think our number one need in the draft this
no,
year
sir.
Was Dallas Goedert? No.
Tight end was one of the – it was not a need at all, actually.
Considering
you saw what Zach Ertz did this year.
He had a Hall of Fame season. Yep. And this team is just one step ahead, and that's what Howie Roseman does.
Mm.
And that's where he makes his money. This team isn't as reactive to draft for positions of need. Like I mentioned on the show yesterday, you're not drafting the Danny Watkins or the Marcus Smiths at those positions of need. You're drafting 2, 3, 4 years down the road for when you have to put out big contracts and stuff. Would it be nice to have Brandon Graham back? Yes, he was great in pass rush, and he was great in run protection. But how much money are you going to invest in that defensive line? Brandon Graham isn't getting any younger. Maybe you have a reunion a couple years down the road as that situational Dwight Freeney-esque pass rusher.
I know. I always think of Dwight Freeney when I just remember him in Atlanta, where he was kind of just on his last legs, but he still like churned out like a 10-sack season at like age 38.
Yeah, and this Brandon Graham wants the money. We know that. He said he's got
to
do what's best
for his family.
He deserves
it. He saw Vinny Curry get a deal here.
Absolutely.
He saw Timmy Jernigan get deals, drafting Derek Barnett. Like, the guy deserves – and he was on that Chip Kelly contract forever.
He was a Asante Samuel 2.0, as you like to say.
That's
Everybody
right.
passes him up. But this, between the draft and free agency, the defensive line class is absolutely banana land. You look at the NFL draft – in the top 5 picks, you could have 4 guys on the defensive line.
Right, which is why I'm not worried if we lose. Like, I would love to retain Graham because, again, I still think he could be really good for the next couple of years. But like you're saying, it's losing Graham. First off, we're going to have Barnett and Bennett no matter what next year
Josh
with
Sweat
Cox
as well.
Inside and Josh Sweat hopefully taking another year to develop. We're going to add pass rushers this
Absolutely.
Year. You know it's clearly a priority for the Eagles. It has been since they drafted Derek Barnett. I mean, they just continued. They like to have 4 guys rotating, or at least 3. So they're going to add people. The thing is with me is if they haven't, you know, you can't risk the cap space problem. I don't know if it's even going to be that big of a problem.
It's an imaginary number.
Yeah.
It really is.
So if you can bring Brandon Graham back, I'm not going to just say let's not take him because – you know, we can get younger there.
Oh, yeah,
I think
no.
you could do both.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if Chris Long, he's a guy that I'm okay going. I don't know if he would go to another team or retire. They can free up $5.3 million by Chris Long being off the books. I'd be okay with adding a younger guy. Because, again, even if you don't, like you're saying, they address needs that could be a need 2 to 3 years down the road. And even if you were to retain Jason Peters or a Brandon Graham, you still got to add another offensive lineman this year that's young. You got to add another edge rusher because outside of Derek Barnett, everyone else that's on the defensive end position, and of course Josh Sweat, but the main guys that played last year, they're all over the age of 30.
Yeah, absolutely. And where I was going with that Brandon Graham thing
yeah.
is that maybe you get him at a cheaper price because there are going to be so many defensive linemen between the draft and free agency. You just look at guys like Ndamukong Suh. You have DeMarcus Lawrence, who could get probably the richest Ziggy Ansah. You have Dante Fowler. You have Quinnen Williams in the draft. You have Ja'Kai Polites of the world. This Howie Roseman even said it, that this is a historic, not just a good, not just a great, a historic defensive
line
draft.
I think it's why they moved back last year.
I think
they
have the potential to move back this year as well and have three picks in the top, 55?
So do you think they'll really even prioritize bringing Graham back?
I think that might be the least of their concerns. Yeah. I hate how it is that free agency comes before the draft.
I agree.
It really
I'm
is very
you.
Inconvenient. But, hey, who knows? BG, the market might not be there. He might sit around for a little bit. But I'm every team needs a pass rusher. The Bills needs a pass rusher. The Jets need a pass rusher. Miami needs a pass rusher. I expect him to get big money. But that's why the Philadelphia Eagles are better than all of those teams, is because they address that. And they build through the two positions of need, the defensive line and the offensive line. And they're going to continue to draft assets at those positions. And they're not in that situation of drafting for need, but best player available. If you can see a defensive lineman, even though you don't need one, as your 20th ranked player on the board, you're drafting at 25, and you have a bunch of positions, say cornerback, that there's better player or there's lesser players, you see this one guy that you can get at 20 that you don't even need that position, they're going to take him because that's what they do now.
And if it's close, they'll take the guy they need?
Yeah, absolutely. But if it's a 10 to 15 spot drop-off,
right, then you
got to
go with best player available.
Like, you have a drop like an Aaron Rodgers, you look at the quarterback position. If you have a drop like that for a big name at the defensive line position, or say maybe something comes out for like a Quinnen Williams and he drops like Laremy Tunsil does in the draft and you want to take a shot, or just putting out hypotheticals.
Yeah.
This team doesn't draft for the positions in need. They draft blue chip players, and that's why you look at the Patriots of the world. You look at, you could say, even the Steelers when they were in their heyday. How many wide receivers did they draft that became all-stars?
That's right.
They never needed
Emmanuel
wide receivers.
Emmanuel Sanders.
You add
Antonio
good
Brown,
players,
Mike Wallace,
and that's what this team does, and they're going to continue to do so, both via the draft and both via free agency. Give Howie $30 million in cap, and he's going to make magic work. We've seen him work with less, and I think that's all he really needs because he can do a lot of restructuring. You can restructure guys all over the board. You could keep moving Fletcher Cox's
And the
deal
cap goes
and,
up every single year.
Yeah.
Like the NFL cap went up $10
million.
They
get a new CBA. Yep. The cap, don't worry about the cap. Just
Which Howie even said in his interview at the end of the season, like, don't worry about the cap. It's not going to stop us from adding good players.
Worry about retaining your core and worry about adding the best player available.
And to
I
me,
think that approach is the best way to go.
And nothing that they do in free agency should affect the draft for me. Because even if they were to retain Jason Peters and Brandon Graham and Timmy Jernigan, right? Let's say JP and Jernigan take restructures. And they're able to bring Brandon Graham on maybe a friendly deal. Like you say, maybe the pass rusher market, it lowers his value. And he wants to come back here on a little bit less deal than another team, but say it's only a couple million. He decides to come back here. I still want an edge rusher. I would still like another defensive tackle to rotate with Jernigan and Fletcher Cox. And I would still like an offensive lineman to help, you know, JP be that player's coach, like you mentioned, to coach up Jordan Mailata, to coach up Big V, and maybe another draft pick. I don't know if it'd be Kajust, or maybe it's someone in the first round. Maybe it's someone with your 2 second-round picks. But regardless of what they do, I would love to bring those guys back.
Round. They're going with my boy Nasir Adderley, I'm telling you.
That was my next question. I was going to bring up Rodney McLeod.
Because
that safety you really like. McLeod's future is interesting. Like, this is a good player. I feel like he's been one of the more underappreciated additions of Howie Roseman.
Corey Graham for 13 weeks.
Right, I think that makes us definitely appreciate him more. In the Super Bowl, he was huge. I think back to the play where he just bodies, was it Brandon Cooks on third and
Malcolm
goal?
Jenkins
where he just body slams him like a WWE wrestler. Like, McLeod has been a huge part. Remember, before Roddy McLeod and Jenkins, we were running through, I mean, it was 1 year of Walter Thurman, but before that it was
Quinn Jarrett.
Yeah, like Jared Page, remember
Walter
him?
Walter Thurman had a good year. Don't disrespect
No, I know
Walter
he did. That's
Thurman.
Why I'm glossing over him.
Nate Allen.
Remember
Oshimago
Atagwe?
Oh, yeah.
There are some bad ones. Kurt Coleman.
Was terrible. Kurt Coleman was the Donovan McNabb pick. No, Nate Allen was the Donovan McNabb pick. Kurt Coleman.
You mentioned Jaquan Jarrett. That was a second-round pick.
Yep, yeah.
He was a Temple boy.
And
that
when they were drafting for positions of need, and that's how everything comes full circle. Because
that's why they drafted Danny Watkins.
Do we need a safety right now? No, you have Rodney McLeod and Malcolm Jenkins. But in 2 years, you might need two. Malcolm Jenkins is on the wrong side of 30. Rodney McLeod has a buyout next year.
Yep.
You're going to need it, and that's
he's coming off an injury too.
Exactly,
they could free up right now $5 million. They would have 4.8 in dead cap.
It's 2.6 or something.
Yeah, in 2020. So next year they would only lose $2 million in dead cap, and they would open up 8.5.
Yeah, that would be huge.
So, and the thing is too, maybe they don't even add a safety in the draft, but I think Avante Maddox can play that position. Mm-hmm. Jalen Mills, say they really like Avante on the outside, which I, after seeing the end of the season, it'd be hard not to want him at corner. Jalen Mills has safety experience at LSU. I think Rasul Douglas could do it as long as Jim Schwartz is here. He's not going to play anything outside of outside corner, so I'll get rid of that possibility. So Rodney McLeod is, again, one of the biggest question marks because while I really like his talent, he's a leader on the team. You saw him holding up the ski masks in the huddle. He's got his own podcast now on WIP.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So he was debunking the Wentz story this week. The money, though, the optionality the Eagles have in the secondary, which is a great problem to have. The first time ever Pro Football Focus came out with a stat today. Cravion LeBlanc was the highest-ranked corner
in the postseason.
The Eagles have a good problem in the secondary. McLeod might be one of the least likely to come back next year because, like you said, there's some guys in the first round, maybe the first couple of rounds at safety, and then there's options within the team, and they're young options. They're not guys that are Corey Grahams, where they're just, you know, the Chip Kelly prototypical Band-Aid secondaries, which is what he always tried putting together.
And the way this team uses three safeties, you could draft a safety in the first round, and
that's
could play all
too.
Over the board
this
absolutely. Year. And Nasir Adderley in particular, who I mentioned yesterday, I'll keep mentioning until draft comes up, he's a versatile guy, and they like those guys that could play at the line of scrimmage from the safety position. How many times has Malcolm Jenkins played up on Cole Beasley against Dallas? We've seen that time and time again. You need those versatile guys, and this is the time to get them in when you still have a Malcolm Jenkins to train them in those positions, when you have all these luxuries of having these young corners. And frankly, linebacker is just slowly being phased out of the NFL.
It's
you just need two linebackers, and then you could plug and play the rest. Look at the Chargers. I mean, it wasn't effective in that game against the
Patriots.
They
were using just safeties.
They used seven defensive backs.
I was going to say, half the time, though, we don't even really use two linebackers.
Yeah.
The majority of the game, I don't know if it was the majority, but for the most part, down the stretch, Nigel Bradham was the only linebacker that was on the field every single play. Malcolm Jenkins played second linebacker almost as much as Jordan Hicks did last year. So, and that's linebackers, another interesting question mark on the roster this year. If Jordan Hicks, look, he's a young linebacker that has made big plays since being a third-round pick out of Texas. The injury concerns is there as well. I think linebacker is another big question mark for this roster in the offseason, as is running back. Running back is something they finally have to address, and we'll get into it a little bit more next week. We're going to go position by position and preview it for the offseason, who the Eagles could potentially lose, who the Eagles could potentially add. So that's all next week. But running back's another one where they really have to address it. But for me, Gino, before we get into our next segment, I think Rodney McLeod, Jason Peters, Brandon Graham, and Timmy Jernigan, I would say, are probably the biggest names that are on the fringe, on the brink of not being with the Eagles in 2019.
Yeah, I think you hit it pretty much spot on. You throw Ronald Darby in there
as well.
Darby is too. I think it's too much.
I think it's a given. I don't think him or Ajayi really have any chance of coming back.
The way your young corners played, I don't think there's an issue there. If they can play up to that level again.
Because remember, too, Mills and Jones are coming back.
It's wild.
So there's five corners before we get to Darby's name.
Yeah. And you're going to have to cut some costs, and Darby's going to be one of those costs.
100%. And he's just, look, he's the speed, the athleticism of Darby. Someone's going to have a lot of cap space next year and be like,
you see how corners get paid. We talked about how we thought he was better than Stephon.
We know more than
anybody,
dude. Nnamdi, Byron Maxwell. Look, we did it. We didn't pay the right guys.
When does the Nnamdi jersey become cool? Because I still got it sitting.
I have it too. It's my only white Eagles jersey I own.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first jersey I got when I went to the link. That's a terrible first jersey to have from Philly, but it's the one. Yeah. I think Nnamdi's cool now.
Funny story before we go to the next segment.
Yeah.
I always get my jerseys from China. Don't tell the NFL that, but I'm not spending $150.
Raptors jersey I'm wearing right now is from China.
I'm not spending $150 on a jersey. So I like to get jerseys and then spend my money.
It's also because I just whiff on jerseys.
Yeah, right?
Too.
So
Kevin Cobb.
I asked for a Babin jersey. They didn't have Babin, so I ended up with Nnamdi. Boy, oh boy. That
Which
was
one would have been
terrible times for the Eagles.
That first year he was back, he did have 18 sacks. He was also a piece of garbage in the locker room.
But we're on to bigger and better things, and we got more things to break down in our next segment where we'll talk about the positional needs, how we're going to rank them, and how what unit we think is really the priority in this upcoming offseason. So catch us right after the break for Locked On Eagles Segment 3.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Wednesday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri in studio. Really talking about the core of this team. A first look at the offseason, the biggest question marks of the roster by players, by position. How different should this team be in 2019? Well, me and Gino, we both kind of have concluded we don't think it's going to be a whole lot different. Mm-hmm. We could miss some very legendary Eagles, say Brandon Graham and Jason Peters and Nick Foles. But for the most part, they have the core players that are going to keep this team at the top of the NFL for the next 3-4 years. I'm very confident in that. And as long, again, like I said in the beginning of the show, as long as they have Carson Wentz, I think Howie Roseman's going to just keep, you know, rotating talent around him on the roster.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if we want to go down the list, I'm going to start it off. We could do almost a snake track of draft their positions and needs. So I'll start it off. I think the interior defensive line is the key. I think you saw how much of a burden it was on Fletcher Cox when he didn't have Tim Jernigan there.
They had to rely on a 34-year-old Haloti Ngata.
And T.Y. McGill for part of the season, and Trayvon Hester before he really came into his own.
Give him credit, though. He came along at the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you see how great that unit
operated all around. The edge rushers were able to get there once that penetration really started to come around. Fletcher Cox can only do so much against double teams. When you have an elite force or a very good or a good force in there, like a Tim Jernigan, or you're going to add another young guy in the draft, hopefully in a very deep class, that's where the engine starts to run. That's where the linebackers get freed up. They can make those tackles in space. You can affect the pocket. You can affect the run, and I really think that's the key. I think that they
look
hit
what it's done for Aaron Donald in L.A. with Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, you get those big bodies. You stop the run, and that's how this Eagles team has made money. So I think starting off interior defensive line has got to be the number one issue you address this offseason.
I think that's the number one. I think number two is edge rusher. It easily next year could be just Derek Barnett and Michael Bennett that returns. With Chris Long, I don't know if he's going to retire. The Eagles might just cut him and free up that $5.3 million. We both think that they're in love with this class when it comes to defensive linemen. They might just prefer to go young regardless. And Brandon Graham, while I would really like him back, if he can get the money elsewhere, he's going to take it. And look, he deserves that. The more power to him. They got to add a young edge rusher to go next to Derek Barnett. We don't know Josh Sweat's future. Raw talent-wise, really like him. As a fourth-round prospect, people were really praising the Eagles for taking that chance on him out of Florida State. But they got to add more to that because they love to rotate edge rushers. They like to have – last year we were four deep when we won the Super Bowl, right? We're using Vinnie Curry and Brandon Graham, and then they come out and we had Derek Barnett and we had Chris Long. And this year we add Michael Bennett to replace Vinnie Curry. At defensive line, really, in general, is the biggest need. And then I think, offensive line would be three?
Yeah, it's on you, so yeah, that's your
offensive line, because Jason Peters, I want him back this year. I do.
It's going to be tough.
I would like it if he would take a pay cut. I don't see it happening. What do you think is more likely? They keep Brandon Graham or Jason Peters? See, one's a potential cap casualty. One's a just unrestricted free agent.
I think a better chance you bring back Peters. I think he'd be open to a restructure. I think he's only going to want to play one more season. It's going to be tough to justify paying him more than $10 million with the injury history. But I think that's essential because as we get into the player-coach idea of training, is Jordan Mailata your next guy? He's still very raw, but you see how many leaps and bounds he took just in that four-week preseason, and hopefully you can continue to mold him. You can have him continue to mold guys like Matt Pryor that are young guys. Hopefully draft a
Matt
young
Pryor,
guy.
That's right, yeah.
I think offensive line definitely, because left guard as well. You have to address that position. Steven Wisniewski and Chance Warmack, who didn't even play.
Yeah, and Wiz isn't even going to be here that much longer.
Even be here after this year.
We got to keep going back to what you said, like 2-3 years down the road. Jason Kelce might retire in the next couple years, and maybe say Amalu bumps over to center. You're going to need a left guard. You need more youth. Just keep adding youth up front. Just the two lines, because I feel like Nick Foles, he was legendary in the playoffs last year, but why the Eagles really won the Super Bowl last year? They dominated up front, and it's cheesy, and people always say it's one in the trenches.
It really
but
is.
It literally was for the Eagles, though. Up front on the offensive line, that unit last year in the playoffs played better than any unit this Eagles team had.
Yeah, that was with Big V, too. And yep. you see how essential it is, and I think that is the key to keep that. You don't want to get into a situation where you have an Andrew Luck or a Deshaun Watson where they were just getting peppered their first couple of years in the NFL. Andrew Luck, you see what he does. He didn't get touched the last 5-6 weeks of the season.
Got to the second round.
He was the comeback player of the year. Mm-hmm. You see how essential it is, and that's what the good teams are doing. You saw Frank Reich take that ideology from Philadelphia to Indianapolis, and you saw how quick the turnaround was. So if you can continue to build the offense and defensive line, which we mentioned are the top three priorities,
yeah.
I think it's what they're thinking right now in NovaCare. And I think
it would not shock
really
me at all if that's their first-round pick in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Unless, absolutely. And again, maybe they...
Unless you get the next position that I was going to say, which is safety, and I think that's yep. key. I mentioned it yesterday, mentioned it today. We mentioned Rodney McLeod. Malcolm Jenkins on the wrong side of 30. He's going to get
started. Yeah, we don't even really talk about
soon.
That much.
You have guys like DeAndre Hall who really barely even played. Trey Sullivan, how much can you trust him? Corey Graham, thanks for your service. See you never. yeah. They really have to address that position. It is a good thing that they cross-train their cornerbacks to the safety position, but you saw how big of a hit it was when you didn't have that second safety and you had to move a lot of that room around.
And they run three safeties more than they... I mean, again, like we said earlier in the show, they use 1-2 linebackers most of the time. They have 5-6 secondary members out there almost every play.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's easier to go down at cornerback and replace those guys. You can move those around a lot easier than you can with the safety position. So if you can bring in a young safety to mold behind Malcolm Jenkins to fill that Rodney McLeod role, you're going to have another perennial all-star if you take one early.
Do you think that's a bigger need than running back?
Is it because of the position? Joe Douglas ideology and the value of the position, I think so. I would say running back probably next, yeah. and I was assuming that's where you were going to go
they
next.
They have to address it.
It's like 4A, 4B.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
they're
going
to have
you.
To, but I Look, think safety long-term yeah. adds a lot more value than a running back because
no,
you could flip those
yeah,
over.
Yeah, and honestly, like I kept thinking like offensive line or running back, but I keep going back to why they won the Super Bowl last year. And, yeah, they had 200 yards total combined from Ajayi, Clement. I always get that mixed up. That was the thing going back to Wisconsin. People always did Clement. and then LeGarrette Blount, they combined for 200 yards in the Super Bowl, but why did they really win outside of Nick Foles and Doug Peterson? It was the offensive line and, you know, the defensive line. But they do have to address it some way. And I'm confident that they'll try at least because I think if Christian McCaffrey was there
in
2017, they were taking him. Doug Peterson even kind of said that when mm-hmm. they played the Panthers this year. And if they didn't get Christian McCaffrey in the second round, they were ready to get Dalvin Cook. Sidney Jones was the second option. I think they were really gunning for Dalvin Cook. They really liked him. I interviewed Dalvin Cook's high school coach actually during that draft process, and he said the Eagles showed the most interest in Dalvin, and his grandma said it too. I think, but Minnesota knew that, moved up to grab him. So the Eagles have showed they traded for Jay Ajayi for a fourth round pick. They have showed that they want talent there. They're not ignoring the position mm-hmm. in general, but they've also sometimes been lackadaisical with it. I don't think that they really do prioritize it as much as other positions. It's why this year at the trade deadline, despite having only Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, and Corey Clement, when Jay Ajayi went down, they decided to add another receiver because they believed more in the passing game this year, and rightfully so, and they added Golden Tate to go along with Aguilar and Alshon Jeffrey. Do they need another pass-catching weapon? I don't think so, but they prefer that over running back. Jay Ajayi, they only really added him late in the season when he became available because Adam Gase just can't stand talented players with a bigger personality. He's Chip Kelly 2.0. He's just the reincarnation of Chip Kelly. It was why I was holding out that if he hung on to the Miami job, maybe we had a chance at Kenyon Drake. But they got to add someone. I don't know if it's going to be in free agency going after a Tevin Coleman, maybe try to trade someone. Yeah, maybe you take... With one of those second-round picks, maybe you go two trench guys with two of those picks, and then you go with a Jacobs from Alabama or a Montgomery from Iowa State.
Don't even mention the name Josh Jacobs in my presence.
You don't like Josh Jacobs?
I love Josh
Jacobs. Oh, no, that's what I was saying. I was watching his
stud.
All of Sunday after the NFC title game.
He's
going to
be the number one running back taken. 100%.
I saw a mock draft by our guy over at Locked On Bills, Joe Marino, give us Jacobs at 53 overall.
Whew.
all in on that.
Daniel Jeremiah said he was going fifth overall. Completely crazy. But
so
I think
running back, though, they got to do something.
They
like,
have
we
to.
Can't
but,
go in next
but
year
the thing
with
is
Josh
this
Adams.
This team doesn't need a bell cow back. And you see, look at Todd Gurley right now. They brought in C.J. Anderson off the street.
Yeah.
Like, you just need a guy who is consistent throughout the season. I think this team doesn't need a 1,000-yard rusher. They need a guy who can rush for 750, but catch 50 to 60 passes.
They shouldn't steer away from adding a potential
RB1
just for the sake of using the committee approach. Whereas, yeah, I think that, yeah, they're going to want to use Clement still and maybe Sproles or Josh Adams. But I want a clear guy in that rotation. I'm okay with the rotation, but I want a guy like last year. It was clear in the playoffs, Jay Ajayi was the workhorse, and very lightly use the word workhorse for the Eagles, how they use it. But I don't want that to steer them away from trying to. I understand not wanting to use big money on a running back or high draft picks, but don't let it be, we just use a committee anyway, so we don't really need to add a guy. If you think that that's a player you really want, don't let the rotation steer you away from that. I think we need to, not just the Eagles, but the NFL in general, I've been trying to separate two takes. Running backs, you can get them anywhere, and running backs aren't important. Because, yeah, they did add C.J. Anderson, but I think C.J. Anderson was one of the reasons they beat the Dallas Cowboys, isn't that? I mean, look at the NFC champion, look at the conference championship games. You had Alvin Kamara playing Todd Gurley, and while, yeah, Todd Gurley had the worst game of his career, Todd Gurley was one of the main reasons the Rams were in that conference title game. And Sony Michel had five or six rushing touchdowns, which is big for my brand. I really wanted him last year for the Birds. I still hold a grudge. The Patriots took him at 31. But Sony Michel was big for the Patriots in the playoffs. We got to separate where, yeah, can you get a Philip Lindsay undrafted? Sure. But not having one in general, you saw with how good this Eagles offensive line was last year, there was a lot of meat left on the bones when Wendell Smallwood would get a four-yard run, and I feel like another guy could have took that 15 yards. So they got to add – they just show me – that you're committed to at least adding some talent that has overall pass-catching ability and running.
Definitely. Just real quick, I'll wrap up the running back position. Yeah. I think there's three things why they wouldn't address it this year. Two, the draft class isn't the greatest. You're going to get more depth, so you're not going to get a stud guy. You're not going to get a bell cow, I would say. But
even,
you could get a consistent
round,
guy, like a Montgomery out of Iowa State. But next year's class
is
the class. Travis Etienne. You ever heard of him?
Yep.
Clemson? He's only been in a couple national championship games. Stud. That's when I want to address it big time. But yeah, I would also be for taking a guy in the third, fourth round, or getting a guy like TJ Yeldon. But you said pass catching.
Maybe we just bring in like a Tevin Coleman until.
Yeah, I'd totally be fine with that. But in regards to pass catching, I think the next need is a field stretching wide receiver. I think that would put the cherry on top for everybody, make everybody better, make the running back more efficient in the flat. You open up things, get everybody playing back. You get Alshon Jeffrey working in his more natural position in those short to intermediate areas, more in the intermediate to downfield areas. You can get Nelson Agholor in space where he works the best. You could get Zach Ertz in those intermediate areas. Get Dallas Goedert with his yak ability.
And it's like,
I think that
we need like
huge.
A run after the. It's not just like home run. Like that threat is something we really need, and
need
we've
a dynamic
been desperate to have that
wide receiver.
But it's a guy too that can. It's kind of why they added Golden Tate. Mm-hmm. He can take a 10-yard catch and he can make it a 30-yard or a 40-yard catch. Just getting that, we just need more explosive speed, because what the advantage we have on our offense is size, is route running, hands. Look at Ertz, Goddard, Alshon. The only really explosive weapon we have on this offense is Nelson Agholor. And I'm with you. I think that's a key need this year, and I think there are a lot of options.
Absolutely. Yeah. This draft class, I talked about it yesterday in the Shrine game. There's depth there at that field stretching wide receiver position. And there's also some guys you could get, like a DeSean Jackson in free agency.
Please, I've
maybe
been daydreaming about Wentz throwing to DeSean for a 70-yard bomb for 3 years now. I want it to happen.
It would be cool. I'd definitely be down for it. But the one thing I want, doesn't have to be this year, but hopefully next year, they draft a wide receiver in one of the first two rounds to help develop and be that Davante Adams type, be that Michael Thomas, be that guy for Wentz. Alshon is that guy, but he's not going to get any younger. You need to get a young developmental guy, because who knows if Agholor will be here? Who knows who you're going to be able to pay come down the road? I think you bring that guy in.
Yeah, Alshon's already 28.
Yeah,
so
that's a problem for another day, but I think field stretching wide receiver would be the next one.
And yeah, look, we've mentioned a lot of positions, but again, next year, like the real theme of this show is kind of talking about like what this team is going to be, how different are they going to be. if they don't really add a key running back, maybe they just add a fourth round type guy. I really like the guy out of North Dakota State. I'm drawing a blank on his
name. Ben Solak of Network and Bleeding Green Nation. He was shouting from the rooftops for him yesterday.
So I got to get more familiar with this draft class. But guys like that, and maybe they just go with a lower tier free agent ad. But even if they don't go all in on a lot of these positions, there's so much talent oozing from this roster already with a Carson Wentz, a healthy Carson Wentz returning next year. Colin Cowherd, a guy I don't really even like, respect his opinions, said he had, and he's one of the biggest Philly haters there is in the national media, had the Eagles projected as the number one team in the NFC next year. That, to me, they don't have to add any key players next year. Maybe they just retain a couple guys. Regardless, this team, to me, is set up for the next couple years to still be in the top tier of the NFL.
And that's the thing we've been saying from yesterday to today.
And it made me and you kind of seem... A couple fans that were frustrated during the playoff run called us fanboy, but look what happened down the stretch. You can't ignore the talent. You can't ignore what that team did a year ago, and what did they do? They rattled off 6 of 7 games. It's just you can't ignore the talent, and the cap situation, the amount of guys they have locked up this year, we're more of the optimist in Eagles media, but I think it's justified.
Yeah, ever since I got into this and doing scouting and stuff, I definitely have been less biased. Of course, I'm going to show my Eagles bias a little bit.
No, I don't think we're biased at all. This team just won the Super Bowl.
Until they prove us wrong, this new norm of making the playoffs, why don't we have to be optimistic?
And me and you, we got on them after like the Panthers game.
Yeah.
You had some key rants this year, some crucial rants.
Yeah, I'll rip Carson Wentz for not taking the check down. I'll rip Wendell Smallwood for leaving meat on the bone. I'll rip Alshon Jeffrey for dropping that ball in the last game.
I even got on Rasul Douglas against the Saints.
Yeah, you got on Rasul.
And Rasul's my boy.
I got on Darby after I was shouting from the rooftops for him week one. So just remember, as much as we may love the Philadelphia Eagles, we just want for the best, what's best for this team. I've been a fan for 18 years. Lou's been a fan for many years himself. We've seen what this team is when they don't have their pieces in place. They finally have their pieces in place. So that's why you got to stop tearing them down and utilize the talent that they do have and recognize that they have some of the best evaluators in the league and Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas.
When's Joe Douglas going to get a GM job?
Eventually.
Point, yeah.
But you have Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz, and you have an owner that's all in. Until this team proves us wrong, I'm 100% in for everything that they
do.
And
I'm excited about this offseason. I'm very confident in the position that they're in this offseason. It's going to be fun to see what they do, but for today, that's going to do it. A first look at the offseason here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thanks, everyone, that tuned into this Wednesday edition of the show. We will be back tomorrow with a deeper Senior Bowl preview with Michael Kist of Bleeding Green Nation. Please follow all our accounts on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and Gino at Gino_LOE. We got written content up on LockedOnEagles.com. Please subscribe to the show. Leave a comment, hopefully a 5-star review. We always appreciate the listener feedback. For my co-host Gino Camilleri, I'm Louis DiBiase, signing off. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And as always, let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.